Anybody else marinated? It's the pickling process, you know. It's when you take a cucumber and you marinate it and it becomes a pickle. Totally different. When you take us coming out from being out there in the world and coming in here and getting in glory, it's getting marinated. Transformed, right? From glory to glory. And this, it says, comes by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, it's good to be back with you. You know, it's a struggle for me, you know. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave either place. I just want to be where he is. So I'm really grateful for your prayers. We ended up our time there in Tanzania with they were honoring me. You know, they made an outfit for me, an African outfit. I was going to wear it today, except I made the mistake of washing it. It's not non-shrink fabric. I put it back on, the sleeve was up here, and I could only close it that far. It's a dang. I showed it to my wife. She said, "You should have known better. That's happened before." I said, "Yeah." Oh, well, they gave me extra material to give to my wife to make a dress that matches it. So I have a whole roll of material that besides the same material. Yeah. But I have a picture of me sitting there with all the other pastors at the crusade with this outfit on, and you can see that it actually fit. It actually fit. Oh, yeah. Wow. I like sometimes going back to not the same country, but not necessarily the same place. We rarely ever go to the same place. But there's people there that were with us the last time, and we get to hear stories of what happened after we left that they don't always tell us about. Now, there was a few of you that were there in Tanzania last year at Tabora. 1, 2, 3. Anybody else in here? No, just you three. Witt was with us also. And Jem's not here. Okay. Huh? They said, and I didn't know this, they said that the church that was hosting us when we went the last time was a big church. And 2 weeks before we got there, the church had a major split. It happens in Africa. You believe that? I know it happens here. But it actually happens in Africa. And it was like, he said, like 15 people left in the church that was hosting us. And they had invited, you know, hundreds of other churches. And they just didn't have the means to be able to pull that off because the people were all gone. And they said that when we were training them and equipping them and then we went out to the community with them to go house to house. And they said as a result of that, we left on like a Saturday or something. The next day, they had church service in that church that had like 15 people, and there was 100 new people in that church the very first Sunday after we left. And they said that church has continued to grow, and they're already planting other churches because they busted out the walls and the roof. You know, and we don't know that. They didn't tell us that. I found that out. I said, "Wow, why didn't you share that with me? That's awesome. That's awesome." But that's the kind of testimonies you want to hear, right? We want to hear that. That was just wow. So I have a I don't want to say suspicion. I can sense in the spirit. How's that? That the same thing happened this time. That only it wasn't a small church that we went to. We were hosted by a very big church. The guy who's the pastor is what they call a bishop. Bishops, or somebody in Africa becomes a bishop when they've started at least like 100 churches. when they started at least like 100 churches, then they make them a bishop, however that works. So the guy's a bishop, and we got in there after almost 3 days of travel. I say we, it's Holy Spirit and I. We got in there almost after 3 days of travel, 2 a.m. in the morning, and they said we're going to be leaving at 8 a.m. for the church service. That was set Sunday morning, I actually got in there. They said, we're having a church service, and you're gonna do the church service in 5 hours from now. I said, okay, no problem. All things are possible with God, right? So we went there, and they had like, there was one of the pastors that was really nice, and he says, I'll video everything for you. Just give me your phone. So all the stuff, everything, 100% of it's on video. Got reams and reams and reams of it. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we have it. And there was probably, I don't know, maybe 100 people in dance groups during the praise and worship time. They had little children up to big people, and they're all like, I mean, they look like they were made out of rubber. The way they were moving was phenomenal. And I'm just like, whoa! I said, then they introduced me, and they said, you have 1 hour. I said, okay. Are you turning the service over to me? Yes. Okay, thank you. So, I don't know, I gave like a 40-minute, maybe 30-minute message and said, we're going to pray because you need to see. You need to see how real Jesus is. You need to see it today. I had the interpreter who was with me, who was with us last time, Emmanuel. He's a sweet man. He said, I told them, wherever you go, I got to be there. I'm never going to miss one of these things. It has to be me. He said, is that okay with you? I said, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just connect together really well in the spirit. So it's him and I, and I give a word of knowledge, and then out of my mouth comes this. You know how that happens to you sometimes? You know, it has nothing to do with your head. It just comes right out of the spirit, out of your mouth. And out of my mouth comes this. Okay, a lot of you are here, and you've been prayed for so many times. You've been in the hospitals. You've had surgery. You had doctors give you all kinds of medicine, and you're not healed. And you've got some kind of disease that they think that they can't do anything about. And right now you're feeling like you need to live with this. That's a lie. I said, I want all of you to come up here. The whole blasted church came up. I said, okay. And I'm looking at Emmanuel. He's looking at me. And it's like, yeah, okay, it's two of us. Okay. Nobody else is trained yet. There's nobody else trained. The pastor's training starts the next morning. So here we go. It was 2.5 hours later that we just went, and I started. I said, I want some of you church leaders to come down here. You get with me. You pray with me, and then I let them pray with me 2 or 3 times. I said, now you go pray. I just give them a couple shots and say, take off. And it was like, and I said, if you need help, you call me. Okay. And sometimes they call me, like there was some manifestations, you know, demons manifesting, and their normal way is they start shaking the people and wrestling and screaming at them, the demons, to come out. That's the normal way. So I said, I think you could use a little help. Okay, just stop what you're doing right now. Watch this. It's really easy. And just with a word, you know, when we understand who we are, we understand who we've become one with, and that he's living in me, living in you, and he wants to release his life. He's waiting for us. When we understand that, you're not concerned about demons no more. They're concerned about you. They're very concerned about you. We give them, you know, we struggle so hard to get people delivered because we don't understand what we've been given. We don't understand who's living in us. When we understand that, it's not hard. It's very easy. So we had 2.5 hours of praying for people, and some bizarre stuff that, I have no idea. There was so many people that were being prayed for that I have no idea 90% of it what happened, because I wasn't in on the prayer. All I know is everybody I prayed for, they all got healed. And it was awesome. So then they said, this is going to be our schedule every day. In the morning, we're going to have the conference with pastors, church leaders, and then we are going to go have a crusade. I said, are we going to do that every day? They said, yeah, we're going to do that every day. I said, I want to suggest something that we either don't have the crusade or have something in addition to the crusade. And they said, what's that? I said, outreach. We need to take the people who are in the conference after they're learning this and go to the streets just so they can see that this is working through their hands. Just so they can see that it's not, you know, you don't want me to do all the teaching and then me, I'll do all the demonstrating and me get up at the crusade and do the preaching and the praying. You don't want me to do it. That's not what I'm here for. There's going to be a big transfer that's going to happen, okay? You guys, when I leave here, you're going to be doing it all. And you're going to keep on doing it. You're not going to say, I can't wait to get Tony back to do it again. No, because you're going to be doing it and keep on doing it. That's how our missions are successful, is we train them and then they do it. So we started out the second day. The first day we just had conference and the crusade in the evening. And the evening crusade, the first crusade was in a village. A relatively small village. They wanted to start a new church, and so they started building the church. They had block walls up to the top of the block, and that's as far as they went. And now they're waiting for people. They had a pastor. The pastor was there, but they're waiting for a congregation, and that was the purpose of the crusade, was to get enough people saved so the church could start. Well, that happened. They got more than enough people to fill that building, and the church got started. This first crusade, I'm standing up there, you know, and I'm wondering, you know, I don't know how many of these people are lost, how many are saved. I don't have any idea. And then I get ready to open up the word, and some young man starts yelling out, "Fire of God! Fire of God!" And another guy goes, "Fire of God!" And they start to go like this, and I'm like, "Okay, what are you doing, Holy Spirit?" He said, "Run out there and dance." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, he said it's going to break the ice." Okay. Well, yeah, I was the only white person that I saw at any time, any place, the whole trip. I was the only one. I mean, the pictures are like crazy. You can spot me really easy. Bing, there's the white guy. Bing, there's the white guy. Yeah, they call white people Mazungus. And because the language there is Swahili, just like in Kenya, their language is Swahili, and they call us Mazungus. And you want to know what it means? It means white man walking around in circles. yeah, we didn't have anything to do with the name; it was already there. But that's just what they call us. So I went out there and I started dancing, and I like to dance. Especially when the Holy Spirit comes on me. And, you know, and we were tearing up a rug. No, we were tearing up the dirt. It was no rug. We were tearing up the dirt. And it's amazing. I mean, all the people just ran in. We've got this huge crowd of people. And everybody's just dancing. Yeah! You know, now I'm doing, you know, just like, I love it when they do that. I can't sound quite like them, but the women especially, they go, you know, in the middle of praise or worship, they just bust out with that all over the place. You hear that? It's. I guess they're just being touched. Well, I was being touched, so I figured I'll let it out too. So I did, and there was lots of miracles, lots of salvations, and I love that song we sang this morning. It's not about me, Lord. It's not about me. Sorry, I've made it about me. It's not about me, Lord. Yeah. I'll give you a few testimonies, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, how it's not about us, not about me, not about you alone. Oh, but what it's about is who it's about. Is amazing. First conference session, there's this pastor, old man pastor, I say old man. I don't know. He looked like he was maybe over 80. But he's sitting there, very like almost emaciated. He's got a suit on that obviously he's lost a lot of weight because it was his suit. It was too big on him. And he's sitting there, and I didn't know, you know, his condition. But I said, we got, now we're going to turn to demonstration. Holy Spirit loves to demonstrate the truth that I've been giving you. And how many of you need a miracle? Well, these are pastors and church leaders. Oh, every hand went up. They're pastors and church leaders. And every one of them need to be touched by God. And this man stood right up. My intention was to let them watch me while I pray and go through however the Holy Spirit's leading me to pray, so to see this person released, and then I have that person who just got healed turn around and pray for the next one. And then the same thing the next one. And we do that because we want to get them trained and right into doing it right away. We there's a lot of people, and we don't know, you know, how much time we're going to have. We want to get them into doing it. So we're there to train and equip. So this man gets up. I really struggled to get up. And he's like this. He comes over, and he says, I said, what do you need? He said, I can't walk. Well, he had multiple other problems that he didn't divulge yet. He just wanted to see what was going to happen with his walking and his legs first before he told us the rest of the story. So we started praying, and he says, I feel like something's happening. So I told a bunch of pastors that had were being prayed for and getting healed. I said, you come over and you do the praying. So they're praying. All of a sudden, the guy starts doing this. And then he starts running around. He runs around the building, and he comes back, tears coming down his eyes, and he says, whoa, I haven't done that in years. I haven't been able to do that in years. And he's standing there, and all of a sudden, he does this. I said, what's happening? Tell me what's happening. He said, I couldn't move my arms, and my fingers were fused with arthritis, and I haven't clapped in 3 years. And we didn't even pray for that. He's going like this. Yeah! Woo! And then he says, I can't see in this eye at all. I've got a cataract, and it's completely clouded over, and this eye is very poor sight. I told the pastors, you start praying. So they pray, you know, thinking miracle. Well, I'm going to pray once, it's going to be done. I said, Jesus didn't promise miracle. He promised healing. You may have to pray more than once. But the bottom line is, he's already done the work. He's already healed the man 2,000 years ago. He took it. He finished it. So you stand on that. You're not trying to get God to come to do something. You're here to release what he's already done. You're here to be a believer and release what he's done. So they pray once, twice. This eye opens up. They're pretty excited. I said, how about the other eye? I said, well, it's not open. I said, so what are you going to do? Well, I guess I'll let him go home, right? No. The way I look at it is, you're going to pray until either the person says stop, I've had enough, or the Holy Spirit says stop. Otherwise, you're going to keep praying because you don't know. So they prayed for like 15 minutes. They prayed. All of a sudden, the guy goes, whoa! So this guy got a major overhaul, right? He got a major overhaul, and he was like so excited. He sat right in the front, and he just, the whole time, just soaking in everything, recording it. He was recording everything. I said, I'm not trusting my memory. I want to take this with me. I'm going to listen to these messages over and over and over and over again until I understand fully who I am. But I love it when we got to the second day, they said, we'll do outreaches. So now we're doing conference in the morning. A little after noon, they're feeding everybody at noon. A little after noon, we're doing outreaches. We broke up into like maybe 20 groups of so many people. and just went out all different directions. And to listen to the testimonies when they came back, there was Muslims out there. And to listen to them say, yeah, I went to the house of this Muslim guy who's the head of a whole Muslim organization, and I thought he's never going to let me in the house. But I told him that I'm here, and I'm bringing Jesus, and if you have any sick people, Jesus will heal them. Would you like to let me in your house? And he said, he let us in. And we prayed for one of the kids who got a miracle, and the father, who's the head of a Muslim something or other, he says, tell me about this Jesus. He said, and we got to tell him the gospel. And we know something. That man would never have walked in this church. Never, ever. His entire life would he ever think about walking in this church. We went to him. I said, that's it. You know where light belongs? Are we light? Jesus said we're light, right? Where does light belong? Yeah, it's good that we have a little light party here. That's good. It's good to have a light party. But we don't just party in the light all the time. We bring the light to the darkness. Light belongs in the darkness. We need to go out to the darkness and bring the light of Jesus. You want to see Holy Spirit release? You want to see his power and his love flowing through you? It's going to happen really out there. And we're bashful, we're shy, we're reserved in America. You know, we think, you know, nobody wants to hear about me. They just think that's my religion. They got their own. I want to be, you know, just kind of reserved and hold back and, you know, not say anything. Don't do that. How does God feel? He desires none to be lost, but all to be saved. And if you're there with some lost person, you're the vessel he wants to use. So what's the worst that can happen? They tell you to get lost. They punch you. What's the worst that can happen? What's the best that can happen? Yay! They get saved. And they come in the family. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know what it's like because, you know, in my humanness, I don't like to talk. And I've always been that way. I'm fine with just sitting and not saying anything in my humanness. I'm fine with just, I'll listen to other people talk. I don't need to talk. I'm fine. And even after I started going to church and I told Bible study leaders that I was in Bible studies, I said, you ever call on me to speak, I'm out of here. You'll never see me again. Because I did not like talking. So what does God do? Come on. What does he do? He sticks me here. He sends me around the world to talk. Oh, my gosh. But the beauty is, you know, one thing for sure you know about me is I'm not going to stand up thinking, I got it together. I got everything. You know, I'm going to release it and give it to you. I'm in extreme dependent mode on the Holy Spirit. It's not, you know, if what you're hearing from me doesn't register with your spirit, then just flush it. If there's some of me coming out, you don't need any of that. Just flush it, okay? You're all born again. You know when the Holy Spirit's speaking. You know when he's speaking. You grab hold of it when he speaks. You know, you don't need some guy's theology, some guy's doctrine, some guy's religion. You need the Spirit of God to speak, to flow, to direct, to empower. You need him for everything. So, you know, I don't look at myself like I'm something. He's something. He's something awesome. Hallelujah. I tell you one testimony when I went out to the outreaches. I went with, there's five people that I went with. There's a young man, he spoke English. Praise God. I had one person that spoke English. And he's with me. We went, he said, do we have to go to houses? Can we go in the marketplace? I said, go anywhere you want. There's no restriction. He said, let's go to the market. Okay, so we went into the market. And there's these young men. They got motorcycles and bicycles. They call them boda drivers, taxi drivers. There, and they're on the corner waiting for somebody to come to say they want them to take them somewhere as a taxi. And we started sharing with them, and they all got saved. And they said, can you come back tomorrow? There's going to be more of us here. We want the rest of them to hear this also. Holy mackerel. And we told them, it's a church. It's just, we were only 5 minutes away from the church. Church right over there. You can go there on Sunday. Oh, man, yeah. You mean they do what you just did? Yeah. Oh, we're going to be there. Okay. We went to another group of guys that were there. Now, it's really cool. One thing about us going there is that we draw a crowd because we're different. Just because you're white, you attract people. Like, let's see what he's all about. Let's see what he's here for. Let's see what he's going to do. Maybe he's coming to bring us money. Yeah. And that's the first thing a lot of them say to us is, you know, gonna give you some money? I'm gonna give you something better than money, okay? Well, what could be better than money? You'll see. And we do. We give them something better than money. And I say to these guys, what would you like prayer for? We're here in the name of Jesus. We're missionaries to you. What can we pray for you for? And nobody's saying anything. And then one guy says, I think we all need general prayer. What? General prayer. I said, what's general prayer? just pray generally for everybody. I said, well, God's a specific God. He sees specific needs, and he wants us to pray for specific needs so you'll know that it was him. If he's answering prayer generally, how's he going to get glory for that? He wants us to pray specifically. And so the one guy says, well, I do have a little problem in my back. So stand up, we prayed, and he got blasted by the Holy Spirit. And now everybody's, they're all coming and say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And this one guy says, will you come to my house? My father has been very, very, very deathly sick. And there's nobody can help him. Will you come to our house? I said, yep, we make house calls. You guys are ready? Let's go. So we went there. We went in the house. They sat us down, and they had a couch and a couple of chairs, and then a table, and then two bedrooms. That was the house. And they went to get the father, and it took him a while because he's been bedridden to come out. They brought him out. They carried him out, and they put him in the chair, and he was very emaciated. And I put my hand on him. He was burning up with fever. And now they don't speak any English. Now watch what happens. This is really cool. I really felt like it was demonic, what was happening with him. And so I said, well, we're here to pray for you. Would you tell him that in Swahili, please? We're here to pray for him, and that Jesus is going to release healing, and he's going to be okay. And they tell him that, and I said, this is what the Bible says. It says, these signs will follow those who believe. Jesus said this. In his name, we'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Not might, but will. So if you let us put our hand on you, and then this guy sitting there, I mean, he looks like he's gone. His mouth opens up, and out of his mouth comes, he doesn't speak English. Now watch this. Out of his mouth comes this. Jesus has already healed me. In English. Now, you hear that, I knew it was a demon speaking. I knew that it was a demon speaking to get us to not pray. And the other team members are going, oh, cool, he's already. I said, no, he's not. I said, just hang on. So I went and I sat right down in front of the guy, and I said, okay, we're going to put our hands on you, and you're going to get healed. It's true what you said, devil. It's true what you said, that Jesus has already done it, but there's no manifestation of that in this man's body yet, and we're going to release the manifestation of that truth. And he didn't say nothing after that. The demon didn't say nothing after that. So I said, you're going to shut up, and you're going to watch what God's going to do to this man. I told the demon that. So we prayed for him. And you could see it, the fever left. You could see his composure changed. He was able to get up and walk back to bed. The next day, we went back to that area again, and we asked the son, what's happening with your father? Oh, he's back at work. Yeah! Hallelujah. 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 Well, that was happening. That was happening every day, and all, with all these guys going out and doing all this and coming back, and then they were taking like an hour to give testimonies of all the things that happened, all the salvations, and all the healings and miracles that they saw. You know what's going to happen to that church? Woo! Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's what we go to do. That's what we go to do. It's... what was I going to tell you? Somebody help me. Woo! Okay. We were more in the middle of the country. I had to fly a bush plane into this one place, and then it was a 3.5-hour drive from there. That was a fifth plane, five airplanes, and it was out there, but really, really worth it. So here we're sitting. This bishop guy, really nice guy, really nice. I'm so humble and so God fearing in a good way. I mean, it was just really a blessing to be there with him, and he was blown away. And he it was the third night. He said, "I'm coming to have dinner with you guys." We were in a guest house. They put us in a guest house. And he said, "I'm coming to have dinner with you." And he gets on the phone. He's talking to, I don't know who he's talking to, but he's laughing and laughing and saying, laughing and laughing and talking away, laughing and laughing. And I don't understand anything he's saying. And Emmanuel's sitting there. He says, "Wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this." I said, "Yeah, yeah." So he gets off the phone. He says, "How much longer can you stay?" I said, "I can't stay longer. I have. Everything's planned. I can't just not go back." I said, "That's it. It has to be another trip." He said, "Well," he said, we have calls from all over the country that they heard about what's happening here, and they want you." I said, "I can't do it." I said, "But another time." He said, "But I got one more for you." He said, "Once a year, country of Tanzania has this massive once a year meeting of all the evangelical church. That's, you know, the Pentecostals, all those guys. They leave the Catholics out, which I don't like, but all of those churches, the leaders all meet together once a year for a massive meeting and teaching, and they said, we want you to do it this year, 2020. The whole country. They said, we'll set everything up, and all you got to do is come. Whoa. I said, "Well, we'll see. We'll see what God has in store." But yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, the reason I really like—I think I've told you this probably 100 times—I really like ministering to church leaders and pastors is because they've got 50, 100, 200, 1,000, 2,000 people in their congregations. Now, figure this out. You know, if they're getting this gospel and they're seeing how simple it is to do the works of Jesus, they're going to go back and give it to their church. And what happens when now with all of these people who are getting this message and they're seeing it happen, what's going to happen in that country? It's going to explode. And I know that's why the Holy Spirit gave me the burden, especially for church leaders. I mean, I'll minister to anybody. If they're moving and they're sucking air, I'll minister to them. That's fine. I love that, but really have a heart for these dudes. There's more, but that's enough. That's enough. Just want to wet your whistle. I had sent to me last night this list of 51 pastors that are in our first Bible school training class in Uganda. And I think that this is the first group, and I'm going back there in November for, it's the graduation. So I'm just going to be sharing my heart for 3 or 4 days with these guys. telling them by the Holy Spirit everything that I've learned as a pastor and how to help people. And then we're going to give them diplomas, and then the country's going to let them open up their churches again. You know, some of you didn't hear about what happened in Uganda. The government, because there's so much craziness going on in churches, they were doing really weird stuff, like having people sell everything they had and bring it to the pastor. And then they have no home and no food. And crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And the way that they minister was, you know, screaming and yelling and throwing people around. And just it was government. I've never seen a country the government got involved. And they said, we're shutting down churches. And you're going to have to go to a Bible school that's been approved by the country. And we had no idea that was going to happen. And we made a decision to start a school and get approved by the government the year before. We didn't know. Then this thing came out, and we're one of three schools in the whole country. So we had 51 students the first round. And they're graduating now next month, and they're then we got a new school started. I'm going down 1 week. The day I come back, Gene's coming in, and he's starting the new school. So I'm excited about that. What's happening there? Amen. Just whenever you think about it, maybe you can just pray for those people. I get a lot of emails how happy they are. Because, you know, we're giving them the message of grace, how what God's done for them. And it is being received. All right, here's what I want to talk to you about. Or you want me to quit? I did get all of the conference sessions were taped, videoed, if I could find a way, and it just that, so I don't have to go through and cut it up and chop it up, just put it up on Dropbox or something, and then if you ever want to watch any of those, you can see what actually happens in one of those conference sessions. It would be good. Okay, so thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for, wow, your involvement. Thank you for becoming one with us. Thank you for making us one with you. Thank you for the new creation. Thank you for opening up our eyes to see truth. Thank you for exposing the lies that may still be in our life so that we can flush them and get it out and just walk in purity and holiness and filled with your love. Thank you so much. Bless what's on your heart to do. I just want to release whatever you have to bless my brothers and sisters here. God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So most of Christianity operates like this, and you probably remember when you did, too. It's looking, if you have a need, you're looking to God to bring that need and meet that need, right? Maybe, you know, you realize that you're not as loving as you should be. And you're praying for God to give you love and release love in your heart for people that you just as soon slap them as to look at them because you don't like them. But you know that you need to have the love of God, and you're praying for it. And it works that way with, like, everything. For we realize that we don't have the power that we should have. We don't have the authority in the spirit realm that we should have. We don't have the wisdom that we really need. All the things that have been done for us, we realize you don't have them. So what do? We cry out to God, and we pray for him to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and release that in my life. Come and put that in me. Come and do that for me. And that's not real Christianity. It's not about me. What is it? What is it? Let's look at a few scriptures, okay? 1 John chapter 4. Say you're looking for love. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God doesn't say God has love to give you. It doesn't say God has love he'd like to impart to you. It says God himself is love. He is love. Love, the love that we're looking for, is a person. It's not a thing. It's not separate from God. The love that we're looking for is him. It's him. I'm hoping you stay with me here. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to start with 22, but I'm going to 24. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God. Christ himself, the person of Christ, is the power of God. Christ himself is the wisdom of God. It's not a separate commodity that God gives us. He doesn't just dole on us power. He doesn't just put on us wisdom. He is wisdom. He is power. He is the anointing. Do you have his anointing? Yes, your spirit is anointed. But the anointing is the spirit of Christ, is Christ. It's him. It's a person. Amen. 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 What's the famous verse? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him, what? Will have everlasting life, will have eternal life. Okay, we read that and we think eternal life is something that he gives us separate from himself. Yeah, I have eternal life. But look at this scripture. Look at 1 John chapter 5. How many of you know, if scripture doesn't fit together, then there's something unfitting in what you're thinking. 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. 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 Calm down, Tony. Calm down. Nope, I'm not gonna. Okay, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Man, you are fast, Harvey. Woo! And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. Eternal life is Jesus. Eternal life is in him. It's a person. Ah! He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's pretty clear. Right? So, I mean, ask the question, where do I fit in all of this? Colossians chapter 3. Sounds like it's all about Jesus. Sounds like it's all about Jesus. Imagine that. We even sing that. But actually, Scripture makes it sound like it's all about Jesus. Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Do you know the Father's intention was to sum everything and all of creation up in Christ? Was to sum up all everything that God did in Christ. God the Father's intention was that all attention would go to Jesus Christ for everything. It's that we wouldn't look at different things coming out of the spirit realm and different things that we get from God and this getting this and getting that, but everything would be in Christ. That was his intention. That was his intention. But it does not say that Christ it says is all and in all, not has all. He does have all. Everything in all of creation was given by the Father to Jesus. You know that, right? But that's not what this says. Because he doesn't want to give us the idea that Christ is a vending machine. That the Holy Spirit is a vending machine. And that whatever we need, we just plug it in, put the proper coin in, and get the right commodity out. No. No. Everything we need is a person. The only reason the only reason for the entire creation is to contain the Creator. The only reason for all of creation is to manifest the Creator. When you look at physical creation, you look at beautiful flowers and trees and all kinds of nice things in nature, okay? That God's intention was for that to manifest the glory of God. That his glory was intended by him to be contained in creation. We, as people, are the only vessel that can contain the person of God. We contain the glory, the very person of Jesus Christ. That's his intention. That's God's intention. That's what he wants. It's for us to be vessels that contain him. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm trying to build here. Are we building something yet? We've got a foundation. Can you see it? Can you see it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Is that where I want to go? Got to read it. Okay. Wow. Wow, that's good. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Is that what I said? Oh. That's pretty good too. And I want you to see 3. He who descended is also the one, capital O, who ascended far above all the heavens. Then what? Oh, we're not there yet. Oh, we are there. That he might fill all things. Jesus ascended back to heaven. What, for what purpose? That Jesus Christ might fill all things. Okay, tell me what's outside of the all. Is there anything you can think of that would be outside of the all that God does not intend to fill, does not intend to manifest his glory through? Is there anything outside of it? No. No. Well, I'm trying to draw a picture here of how big God is, about how much this is about Jesus Christ, how much it's about God and not about us. You have been blessed and privileged to get on a ride that is definitely an e-ticket ride, and it's definitely the thrill of a lifetime, but it is all about him. It's like I'm in a jet and I'm flying across the ocean, and I'm going to go, look at me fly! jet. Step outside the jet. We forget that we are containers. And if we're seeing glorious things happen to us, it's all about Him. It's not look at me. It's all about Him. Oh, so only we can contain God's person. Wow. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. Yeah. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Who has any of you ever done that? For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It all goes back to Him. If there's any glory, it goes back to Jesus. It says in Romans, I forget the verse, but it says, everything comes from God to us to go back through us in praise to Him. Everything comes from God to us to go back through us in praise to God. Because it is all about Him. And there's something about our praise. When we are praising Him because we realize how blessed, blessed, privileged we are to be able to represent Him, to be able to bring Him to people who are hurting and dying, and to watch this glorious person touch people. It just, there's nothing in all of life that can compare to that. Of course, the goal of the enemy is to tempt us to try all kinds of other things rather than to get back. What was that song? To get back to worship, to get back to the heart of worship, to get just, instead of just getting back to the heart of worship, giving worth, giving value to Him who made you. But, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. If you got a vessel and you fill that vessel with something that's valuable, treasure, barely, bless you. Where does the worth, the value get put? On the clay pot or the treasure inside of the pot? A treasure inside. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Wow. So what's the function of the vessel? It's just a holder. The vessel's function is to receive the goods. To hold the goods. Let me ask you this. How do you tell if a vessel is full? You tell it's full when it's overflowing. How do we tell when this vessel's full of Him? Okay, the people around you are being affected by the overflow. Okay, we're not full if we're not overflowing. And when we're overflowing, you're affecting everything around you. In the world, people that don't know Jesus, and some Christians who just have some religion, they get filled with themselves. And they get filled with too much of themselves, and that overflows. And I want to tell you, there's nobody overflow of self that impresses me when I've seen the overflow of the glory of God. I'm just not interested. get around some people, you know, you know what I'm talking about. It's all about themselves. How great they are, how wonderful they are, all their things that they've done, accomplishments. And it's just like, you know, on the inside, you're like, God, help them. God, have mercy on them. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Wow. But there's greater good news here. We're not just a vessel. We're created to be more than a vessel. Now we're going to really start to get excited. We're created to be more than a vessel. We're just not a clay pot holding the glory of God, and that's our life. No. He brings forth that analogy to help us to understand that the part of the vessel is to receive. Okay, in Bible terms, to receive means to have faith, to be filled with, to have faith in. That's the part. That's the responsibility of the vessel, to hold the fluid, and to allow Him to fill you so you can spill all over everybody. But he gave us the example, and I love it. And you can hang out in this in John 15 for a long time, okay. Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. He's talking about what happened with us. Jesus is the vine. He's the life. The life comes out of the vine. The branches are connected. They are one. But the branch does not produce anything on its own. The branch produces fruit, leaves, beautiful flowers. How? By the life of the vine flowing into that branch. And there is not a single branch ever created that struggles and tries to make the life flow in it. Most of Christianity is still under the law. You know what that is? That's trying to do things to make God happy. Trying to do things to please God. Trying to do right, trying to make your life right, trying to fix your life, trying to get your marriage right, trying. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Got to get him a microphone. We want to get that on the recording. How can two be one and yet remain two? The vine and the branch are two, but yet one. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. You're not Jesus Christ, but you've become one with Him. You understand that? Your spirit and the Holy Spirit have become one. 1 Corinthians 6:17, He united His spirit, Holy Spirit united together with your spirit. You become one. Now how can two be two and yet one? Be one yet two? Okay, here's some help for you. Don't try to figure it out. Accept it by faith. I am one with Jesus Christ. I live and I move and I have my being in Him and in Him alone. For me to live not is to act like Christ. For me to live is Christ. My life is Christ in me, living through me. Don't try to figure that out. You'll never be able to make that happen. It's like the vine bringing forth life and the branch trying to get it faster, trying to change the fruit, trying to make it look different, trying to get more fruit, trying. It's not going to work. The life coming out of the vine determines what the fruit's going to be. It determines the abundance. It determines everything. The branch just receives. That's supposed to be our Christian life, to just receive. To believe. Only believe. This is who God says I am. Well, I don't feel like it. My brain's telling me there's something wrong with this whole thing because my life sure doesn't look like it. Well, you tell your brain to shut up. Tell your feelings to go take a rest. And declare out of your spirit, declare, I am one with Jesus Christ. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. The life of Jesus is in me and flowing through me. For me, it's just as it is in heaven. There's no lack for me because I am dependent upon him to bring forth his life. You understand how great and easy and simple our life can become when we realize that everything's coming from him to us, and then he wants to release it through us, and all we do is receive, say amen. And if it's not happening the way you think, hang on. It'll either happen the way you think, if you're thinking was God, or it'll happen in a better way because you just weren't hearing God, but he's got something better for you. But it'll happen because of him. Because you are abiding in him. What does that mean, to abide in him? To remain fully, fully confident, fully convinced that it's his life in you now. It's going to be Christ living through me. Fully confident of that. I mean, he has moved me to a place, my God, I was always had to have rationalize and figure everything out logically. I had to have everything in order. And I had to have it all worked out. I had to have my Sunday message all worked out. Is this Sunday? Sunday. I just had 8 Sundays in a row with like triple services every day. But you know, I want to tell you that to be in that measure of glory, it truly is transforming. It really is. But for me to come to the place where every day I'm in the Word, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to speak to me through the Word, to transform me and change me, that my mind might be renewed so it can agree with my spirit man. I'm trusting him to take this Word and just release life to me. I mean, I may not have any ministry opportunity at all today, tomorrow, the next day, but then all of a sudden I stand up in front of thousands of people and with no notes. But my heart is so full of him and his Word. And then he begins, and for me to watch this happening is just phenomenal. And just to watch him speak and release and watch these people getting free and watch the healings and miracles just happening. And it's like, I know it's not me. And it makes me cry. Because I don't have to do all that crazy, nervous, I got to get ready for this. It's like my brother when he was alive and he was living with us, and he would have a dentist appointment, and he'd have to take off work 3 days early to get ready for the dentist appointment. Because he thought he had to, brush his teeth like 80 times in the office. It's just, we think there's so many things we need to do to get prepared. No. We are on ready alert in the Spirit. He's living in you. Jesus said, don't you worry about what you're going to say. And I'm not just talking about, Bible stuff and you talking to people about God. I'm talking about everyday life. Don't worry about what you're going to say. You have a business, you got a not nice customer, and you got to think about what start thinking about, maybe sleep on it overnight, you know, what you're going to say to them and think about it. You do not need to do that. That's putting yourself under the law. That's cutting off that flow. He knows exactly how to talk to people. He knows exactly what everybody needs. He knows exactly the heart and condition of each person. He knows that. Let him do it. Let him do it. Hallelujah. John 5:19, Jesus said, Jesus is our example, right? You know, maybe five times he might have said, call himself the Son of God, to 50 times he said the Son of Man. He came to demonstrate to us how we could live under the influence, control, and direction of the Spirit of God. John, so he's our example. Jesus, is, in the Gospels, he's our only example. The disciples, they didn't get the Holy Spirit till the last two chapters. Right? Are you with me, church? So John 5:19, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Can do nothing of himself. Jesus is showing us how our life should be. I can't do anything out of myself. Oh, I can do lots of things out of myself, but nothing of any eternal value. Nothing to where the life's going to flow. You can't do it yourself. You can't make it happen. You can't make a relationship work. You can't make it. You can't do it. The Spirit of God is the only one that can do it. It's how many times I say this when I go on. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by our power. It's not by our might. But it's by the Spirit of God. Everything in the kingdom, in our lives, happens by the Holy Spirit. It happens as we see ourselves as a container holding him. Our spirit and Holy Spirit has become one, and we're the vine, and we're the branch, and he's the vine, and he just flows out of us. And we got something to say. We got somebody in need. You just open your mouth, and you thank him on the inside. Thank you for giving me the right words. You know, I put my foot in my mouth so many times in the past because I planned ahead of time what I was going to say to this person. And I got it all screwed up. I mean, I said things I felt, I should have never said that. Oh, I never should have never said that. You know, I can see the reaction, you know. They're like, you know, defense is coming up. And it's like, it's flesh. Okay, anything you're trying to do is flesh. And Jesus says there's nothing good in the flesh. There never will be. There never will be anything good in the flesh. It's this understanding he's in us, waiting to do through us. Drink. Drink of his presence. Drink of his word. Drink of intimacy with him. Spend time with him. Talk to him. Fellowship. And then watch what comes out when you need something to be done. It just, that's the way it works in the kingdom. Jesus is saying, but what he sees the Father doing, he does. The Son also does in like manner. I can picture the disciples listening to Jesus say this, and they're probably thinking, has he got some kind of special telescope or something? He's able to see the Father up in heaven. He's able to find out what he wants him to say or do. You know, they're clueless about how this works. You look at verse 30. Jesus again said, I can of myself do nothing. He's saying it again. I can of myself, this is Jesus. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Not judge people. Judge a spiritual situation. As I hear what? Hear the Father. As we hear the Holy Spirit, then you can judge a spiritual situation. Not to judge people. But the flesh wants to jump right on the bandwagon and say, well, yeah, what do you know what I think about you? You know, what about this one? About you doing this, you doing that? Okay. Well, that is never going to end in a healthy relationship. It won't. You're not going to have that person calling you up 2 weeks later saying, I'm sick, would you pray for me? Not going to happen. Why? Because people need to hear the voice of God. And you got the mouth. And he wants to speak through you. I count myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will. That's a tough one for us, huh? But I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Wow. The disciples, they're wondering, where does he get this information on how to do these miracles? Where does he get this information on how to pray the way, just command demons? I mean, where is he getting this from? Man, how's this happening for him? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to take you to one last scripture, okay? It's in John. It's a conversation that he had at the Last Supper I just think is awesome for us, our understanding of our relationship with him. Jesus was very busy, right? Very active. We're going to John 14. But Jesus wasn't busy, wasn't active doing things because he thought he needed to do them. He was receiving on the inside and then just trusting for the release. He's hearing from the Father. He's receiving direction. He's being led. That's the way our life is supposed to be. What did I say? John 14. Okay, look at verse 8. Let's go 8 through 11. And we'll probably stop with that. Oh. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. They're thinking, he keeps talking about hearing from the Father and seeing the Father and doing what the Father's saying. And Philip's saying, he's got to have some kind of special communication means here. He's got to have something going on. That Jesus, just open up heaven, part heaven, let us see the Father, so we'll be okay with that. Okay, can you do that, Jesus? Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Keep going. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? Now, remember, this relates to you. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? Do you not believe that you are in Jesus? That you are in the Holy Spirit? That you are in the Father? Do you not believe? No different than Jesus. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? You're in him, and he's in you. That's the truth. Forget about what your head says. Forget about what your body tells you. Forget about your feelings. That's the truth. He is in you, and you are in him. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Same for you. He dwells in you, and he does the works. Where we always run into trouble is when we try to do the works. We try to straighten things out. We try to fix them. We try to make it right after a blow-up with our spouse. We try to fix it. I don't know. I really don't have adequate words to describe to you what an understanding of this is going to do in your life. How many of you, you maybe not so much anymore, but your average day, you get stressed over something. It would be something that would stress you out. Okay. Yeah. 365 times in the Bible it says, do not fear, do not worry. Why 365 times? Why? Yeah, Jesus said, don't worry. The day has sufficient worry of its own. Every day is going to have sufficient worry, but don't you take it on. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, take no thought. Take no thought. Don't allow those thoughts to stay in your head that will drag you out of the spirit and into the flesh, that will pull you out of that abiding trust in him who's living within you and wants to live through you. Any thought that comes to take you out of that into a stressful situation, into worry, anxiety, anything that's going to take you, take no thought. Get your flusher out. You got your all got your toilet. Come on, take that thought. Put it in your toilet. Flush that baby. We have responsibility for the stuff we allow to hang out in our head. Don't allow it to hang out. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. I would love to be able to give you better explanations, but I can't, because I can't go into the realm of trying to wrap my head around it. It's a faith thing, okay? We are vessels that just live by receiving from him. We receive constantly. He's giving. And the river's flowing, okay? And we just want to stay in that place of receiving and let it keep flowing. Receive and let it keep flowing. Receive and let it come out. Receive and let it come out. That's it. That's just it. You know what? I believe. I look at people who are not Christians way different now. I believe that God created everyone with enough of a sense in their conscience to know that there's God. And I want to speak the heart of God to that person. I don't want to speak condemnation and guilt. I want to speak God's heart. And God desires none to be lost, but all to be saved. God desires all to come to know him intimately, to know. God desires all to become his sons and daughters. God desires all to walk in glory, to know that their life has great worth and great value. He knows that's his heart and his desire. And I want my words to everyone I speak to be just that. I don't care how nasty they are to me. I don't care how bad they are to me. I don't care what, if they don't like me, that's okay. It's all right. I mean, I'm not gonna combat them. They're coming at me with a load of flesh. I'm not coming back. Y'all felt it, right? Somebody gets in your face and they're coming at you, and you can feel it on the inside. The flesh is rising up. You know, your neck's maybe starting to bulge out. You're starting to turn red. Yeah, if you hit a mirror in front of you, you'd be like, "Hey!" and then you let it go. And what you do, it doesn't solve the problem. It just escalates the whole thing until you end up either in fisticuffs or you end up with hatred in your heart. You end up not being able to share anything with that person anymore. I'm telling you, Spirit of God, I'll never forget when it started for me, and the first time somebody's in my face. You know, when you're in business, you always get somebody in your face, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get somebody in your face. As if, you know, people are basically, in the world, are self-centered, and they want everything to come to them. They want all the best treatment. They don't care about you. They don't know any different. They're blind. If you're walking down the street and there's a blind guy coming, walking by, and he hits you and knocks you down, you're going to get up and punch him? He's blind. He doesn't know any different. And that's the way it is with lost people. They're blind. They don't know what they're doing. They need to get life from us. They need to get a hug. They need to get a hug. I had so much fun on this last trip. I hugged so many people. It's crazy. And I watched again and again. people. I was hugging them, some of them, and they start squeezing me, you know. They're like, I'm not letting go. I know what's happening, and I know the Holy Spirit is touching them, and they're crying. I could feel the water coming down on my shirt as they're weeping. Why would we not want to do that more? We understand who we are and who's living in us. We all have, you have the same Holy Spirit I have. You have the same Holy Spirit that I do. Yes. Amen. Amen. No matter what anybody said to you, saying bad things about you, flush it. They don't know. Jesus said that, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Crucify the Lord of glory. And Jesus asked the Father to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. So many people we interact with do not know what they're doing. The responsibility is on us to release life. Release life. Release life. Release light. Light, too. Yeah. Release it. Amen. Amen. Amen.